Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour. My name is Karina, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please key star zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Bradley Smith. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bradley Smith, Scheme Project Manager. I'm sure you've all heard of me before now, hosted it the past 3 weeks. Don't need to introduce myself too much, but I am joined by some lovely people in the room with me. I've got the Workforce Health and Safety Advisor, as well as the two DUs, Inner and Outer, Steve Edwards and Ian Gibbs. As well as that, I've got Steve Corey, who is the Route Investigation and Accident Manager.
How you want, Bradley?
He does a lot of other things that I don't really know. And I've also got Paul,
Operations Risk Control Coordinator for Wessex.
There you go. So this week we are going to have an open conversation about close calls. Lovely subject that everyone's got an opinion about, so I'd like to hear them, please. If Steve Corey starts us off, please, with last week's incidents.
Okay, ladies and gents, the incidents for last week are as follows. Just to let you know, it's myself that pulls these together from the control log items. Obviously, some of the content that I actually record there is not the full story. So it's quite important, if you did want to understand a bit more to it, to contact your local management or supervisory team. So, this is where we are. So, on the 2nd of July at Bracknell, we had a possession irregularity which occurred when an engineer and supervisor allowed a coal ash rail grinder to exit a work site and proceed towards the detonate protection to exit the possession. Now, this movement requires the Pike Ops authority, which he did not have. So, of course, the train was going through that possession without any authority at all. What was more interesting about this one and more worrying was that the level crossing attendants for the barriers that were between Bracknell and Wokingham also authorised the train across those level crossings without the Pike Ops knowledge. So you've got quite a few little issues within that particular incident that will need to be captured with a further investigation, etc. The second one happened at Waterloo, where a lighting rig got knocked over by a RRV, road rail vehicle. A works delivery manager reported that the RRV had knocked over a lighting tripod, which then fell the live conductor floater within that particular possession. Now, conductor rail floaters are known in some cases to be live within possessions, so to be really quite sure of what is out there, test touch, etc. Really gain a clear understanding with what could affect you and the risks that are concerned around your work sites, etc. So basically the concern was raised by the manager also, who believed the conductor rail should have been isolated, as staff had been stepping over it for the majority of the night carrying tools, and also there was fuel stored near alongside the rail. He said that it had never been like that before, but as we can appreciate, it does sometimes happen. So, moving on, at Wimbledon on the 4th of July, we had a works delivery issue again. This is quite an interesting one with regards to the DNA procedure, but apparently within this instance, a member of staff was called to an office as there was an allegation made that he'd taken a prohibited substance over the weekend. And upon full call screening being basically voiced, the guy went off and left work. So obviously some further investigation, but really, really be conscious of your DNA processes and what you do at the weekends. Better be safe than sorry, and just be aware what you do. Next one is a staff accident on the 5th of the 7th at Bethel's Level Crossing, where an emergency interventions unit mobile ops manager, that's the guy up with the BTP, attending a site for trespass, come into contact with an electric farmer's fence. Now,
I've got a few people sniggering in the room, but obviously on this particular incident, the fence itself, you know, didn't appear to be obvious to be electric. So this is probably something you guys out in the land of farming areas to be very, very cautious and conscious of. And if you're not sure, don't go anywhere near it. Okay. Next one on the list, I know it's quite a lot going on today, was a wrong routing into Platform 7 at London Waterloo by a signaller. Now, Platform 7 cannot take 12 coach trains, so obviously there was a risk there with the train you know, not being accommodated, etc. On the positive, it was an empty coaching stock, but it still required a shunt to be put back into a platform where it was able to be accommodated. Now, interestingly, the driver should have spotted the error, so that incident itself is also under further investigation by South West Train as well. Next one, Crampmore level crossing on the 6th of the 7th. And this is a disc cutter injury. So whilst looking down at the rail to cut, to make a marking to cut a piece of rail, getting all mixed up here, the ballast shoulder that the actual guy was standing on gave way, which then led for the guy's face to go, you know, down toward the rail and cut his head. Now, the actual head itself required two stitches, so, you know, with that in mind, we all talk about ballast shoulders almost every single week, so just be very conscious of your underfoot conditions, etc. Obviously, the positions that some people get into can't be helped, but, yeah, something to be wary of. And the final one, before I move on and pass on to Bradley, we had staff accidents again at Weybridge, between Weybridge and Walton on Thames, where a member of staff, PUA staff, was putting out an emergency speed restriction, and as he went to pick up an automatic warning system magnet, which is associated with the speed, the magnet was drawn to the running rail, which then crushed his hand, causing a bruise and injury. Now, that could have been worse, you know, interesting with that incident, you know, how that actually occurred. It's under further investigation as to, you know, what kind of help he was having at the time, etc. But again, you know, luckily the golden arrow in that instance, and including all the others, was applied, and there were no lost times this particular week up until the 6th of the 7th.
Thank you very much. Before we go any further, sorry, I would just like to say that we are in Basingstoke room 2.8 and we have 5 seats vacant now. I'm not going to say there's an award for the first 5 people to come to 2.8, but there may be a little bit of surprise for you. So please come along. If you're listening to this call and you're in Basingstoke, why not join the conversation anyway? Anyway, let's carry on. Safety hours ended last week. We are supposed to hit 67%. That is what our target is. Last week we were 62%. I think 67% is very achievable. If everyone puts in their figures, then it is very high achievable. The problem is not everyone submits the figures every week. And if you have a safety conversation or a safety hour and you're not submitting the figures, then you're simply scoring in on what you're doing it, but the figures aren't being submitted. So please go and remind everyone, put in the figures. There's an app, you can email.
You can do it by anyway.
Oh, we got some new people. Yes. Close calls raised. We had 47 last week, which is quite poor for a week of close calls raised, I would say. If I did some quick calculations for this, if every person in Wessex puts in 3 close calls in the year, then we've hit the target. 3 close calls in a year. I'd like to say that for every person to see 3 risks within their year, that is very achievable. People are putting in more and more. We love HR. So please, you see the risks, report them, raise them, try and close them at source, do what you can do to make it safe, but report it and let's make it safer.
Can I just talk about Target?
Please, go on.
Yeah, right, okay. So there is the debate on whether close calls or even safety hours should be a target. And I don't think you should look at it as much as a target, but something that has to achieve, potentially, because the corporate body has the measurements, and in the KPIs, we look at lost time injuries, close calls, and the other measure is safety hour. So, having been given the numbers for this year, the Horseshoe has done some calculations. And today, we normally work on, I think it's 58 per week across the route. In order to achieve the number that we think is a reasonable ask for close calls, we need to be looking at 100 close calls reported per week. So that's fairly new, hot off the press, but 100 a week being assigned to us on the present performance is going to require a bit of thought. So the bottom line is, if we don't put more effort into reporting close calls, there will be a backlog effectively and a bit of a panic come the end of the year. So we kind of need to give it a bit more thought. So as I'm sat on a safety hour, and we seem to be not reporting safety hour, and then I question, are we doing safety hour? And I also consider whether people understand what safety hour is. It's a safety related discussion. It is not a safety conversation under the description required of the executives. So this was a challenge. If we close called everybody who does not have a safety hour, we're doing two things. Potentially we're addressing a close call situation, the fact that people should be having conversations and recording them, and we might even look at whether the safety hour is being done in the right place. So I'm going to throw that one out there anyway, because it marries the two up together, and Mr. Gibb is frowning at me and looking very confused. Yeah, but it's a concept. If we close call people who do not have safety hour, because remember, they are our primary focus for putting safety the top of the agenda, not dealing with the incidents and the effects after something has happened. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Feel free to join this debate, Mr. Gibb, to question me.
Well, you be quiet and then I'll stop.
Well,
right, you just need to be careful. As at work up here, yeah, we have to measure KPIs, but when we start cascading these figures down to section level, it becomes a target-driven exercise, and we don't achieve what we're actually trying to achieve here, which is to improve safety out there. That's the ultimate goal for you, me, and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
To close call somebody not doing a safety hour, if you think the definition of a close call is something that prevents the injury to harm, or potential harm, sorry, to someone, or a behavioural cause, which can jump in there.
Yeah.
Just got to be careful. I think, and it's my personal opinion, that we might sort of be belittling the value of the close call system by doing that. But it's the carefulness of, as a recording figures up here in Basingstoke, but the drive that we are putting onto the sessions, we want them to have a safer conversation, which is relevant, and it's just getting them to document it. Not for any other reason, but they want to do it. Because if you force it, it becomes a meaningless exercise, and we will not improve safety.
I completely agree, and I think it's all a matter of perception. So if having that safety conversation or having that safety hour is an important thing to do, and we're not displaying that as occurring at the moment because we're down below 67%, then I have to think, are we actually doing the conversations? If we're not doing the conversations, ergo we're not discussing things up front that might affect the safety of our people, surely that has to be in the realms of a close call. That's my thought process. Is that reasonable?
I would suggest that in terms of a safety conversation, it's thinking about how you operate on a daily basis and what conversations you are having that are safety related. And rather than thinking about I have to have a safety conversation at this set time, it's actually how often do you talk around safety as part of your role, and you'll probably realise that you're talking about it quite often in terms of having that conversation. And it's just recalling how can you acknowledge the conversations that you have and how they count towards having a safety conversation. Because we call it a safety hour, but we're saying it doesn't have to be an hour, it's a conversation. It might be 20 minutes, it might be 40 minutes, whatever the length of the conversation is.
Yeah.
It's around the importance of having a conversation that relates around the safety of our people and the importance of that. And I would just turn it around the other way maybe and have a think about what conversations we do have and how can we make sure that we record those in the way that we should be.
And that's the crux of it, isn't it? I agree with that, because I think there are a lot of conversations that occur that we don't record.
Yes.
So if we don't record them, how can I be sure my hypothesis is correct? In which case I need to do something additional to bring it to focus. That's my thought process.
Well, maybe it's something that's, I don't know, a reminder that have you had a safety conversation today, rather than I have it on a Tuesday or a Friday at 10 or 4 or whatever time, just thinking, whether it's some prompt or something, have you had a safety conversation today? Actually, yes, I have.
Now, I know Adam does the prompt weekly.
Friday morning.
Every Friday morning. So then that would prompt me to think, do I need to organise more prompting regularly to make sure we are reflecting how good we are? Because I believe Wessex is a cracking route.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, I look up and down the country and I think I'm really proud. But I can't display that in the right place.
Could it be something that comes out on the app that says, have you had a safety conversation?
I think we do all have conversations.
It's
slightly more easier than that. And with our new IDM, Rob Thompson, he's put a few initiatives in there. One of them, morning. But similarly, I give prompts during the week as well as the safety advisor for the DU. And each morning, the DUs have their telephone conference where they discuss last night's incidents and events. That is another forum we could use. Rather than inventing new processes, which is going to put people's backs up, what can we use that we currently use? And I would suggest to you, like you just said, just...
What I was just saying there, I'm not quite sure when I got cut off. I think we've already got some processes in place, so we need to look at it. Rather than reinventing new processes or reinventing the wheel, just see how we can smarten up what we're already doing. Examples are, we hold talking conferences each Monday, sorry, each day, where the person chairing it can make reminders to the various sections to hold talking conversations or face-to-face conversations and record them. So they could do it that way. And I know within the outer DAU, we've made massive strides in the last few weeks with our new IMDM, and our figures are beginning to reflect that. So it's maybe sort of looking at what we're currently doing, what's available, and just pushing it from ourselves rather than reinventing fields.
Just before we go on to the next topic, if you like, I would like to open up the lines for any comments, opinions, questions, anything that you want to add, please feel free to dial in and say your piece.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask an audio question or make a comment, please key star followed by the number 1 on your phone, record your name, then press the hash or pound key. Please ensure your line is not on mute while recording your name. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, key star 2. Please key star followed by the number 1 to begin. Your first question comes from
Mark Johnson.
Please proceed.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Brett.
Hi, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I thought it wouldn't be SHL without you dialing, so I was waiting for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. She just told you to say that. First of all, I totally disagree with what Tracy said, and I fully agree with what Ian said. This close call needs to be the close calls and not target driven. My second point is, why are we getting close calls that are raised and closed with inane reasons why they're being closed with no resolution?
Have you got a third one, Mark?
Yep. You want it?
Yeah.
And the third one is, you're saying that people aren't doing safety hour conversations. Darren and I pride ourselves, we do ours on a regular basis. So why aren't people like the IMDMs and the IMEs actually naming and shaming these people who don't submit the numbers?
Mark, it's you here. I think you probably heard what I said previously. Within our own EU, there is changes taking place, and what you've just said is happening.
No, I didn't hear any of that, Ian, because you got cut off.
Right. So what we're doing now, we're paying a little bit closer attention to the stats that's coming down, and that's the breakdown of the stats. So the people that are regularly recording, like yourself, and I see the stats, fine. So when that consolidated list comes out at 12:30 on a Friday, we can then see who has been recorded in the details and who's not. And they are the individuals that will then be spoken to. Yeah, just holding their safety or conversations. Yeah. So that's the good stuff that's going forward in our DU, Mark. So hopefully that'll reassure what you've just said. Yeah?
Does that answer your third point, Mark?
Yes, somewhat.
Yeah. Second point was the close calls that get closed with no explanation. Do you have an example? Are you on about the VTS close calls that you raised?
Well, there's about a dozen VTS ones. There were two we had at Bramley that were closed, and there was tripping, which I did one, and Ryan Cockrell did the other, and they were closed without any resolution. It's been done now. There was the close calls that my COS raised with the Woking signaller. That was closed by the LOM without any resolution.
Okay. So for the VTS ones, I've looked into that for yourself. The close calls are going directly to TomTom, which I am a super user on Wessex. I have no power viewing. I've contacted TomTom to see what they are doing about it. They are currently recording all the figures, looking out for hotspots, and have said that they'll update the system in due time. The ones that have been closed by, not by myself, but or by anybody that I'm working with, by certain responsible managers, there'll be a new training program being produced throughout the summer to train responsible managers of how to close them out and what feedback to give when they close them out. So hopefully that addresses your second point. And if it doesn't, I know we've arranged to meet up later on in the month. I'll talk you through it in a more detailed process. Hopefully that's answered your questions.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Is there any other comments about safety hour or close calls? Preferably close calls, because I'd like to say some good news. Right? We always talk about close calls, and everyone rolls their eyes as if I'm going to tell you off. Good news. You've done a lot of work this year. I've got some before and after pictures of the guys going out. You report the risks, and you go and action the risks. It's not any of us sat in this office that's going out and fixing them and making the railway a safer place. So I'd just like to say thank you to everyone who reports them. Yeah, we're on about how many we have to raise and everything like that. But the closeout rate is 90%. It's really good. You're going and fixing them, and when these risks are being raised, they're being actioned, and actioned well in enough time. So thank you to everyone who takes part in going out and fixing these risks and mitigating the risks. So thank you for that. Any other comments, queries, questions, just any drips or complaints that I want to pick up on? Anything. Come on, hit me with it.
And as a reminder, if you would like to comment or ask a question, please key star followed by the number 1 on your phone, record your name, and then press the hash key.
No one there.
Anybody have another topic?
Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, there are no questions in the queue at this time.
Is there any other topic someone would like to bring to the table on the subject of safety? Disappointed. Yeah, there's a lot of disappointed safety advisors in this room, because actually it is very rarely we are all on safety hour together for various reasons. Well, there you go.
I have to buy Tracy a sausage pap just to get on this call, folks. But please utilize her.
In the room, not on the call.
In the room.
Just while you're considering whether you want to make any comments or not, an example of where the closed system, close call systems work quite well. We had a close call reported earlier on in the week there, and the engineer for the A&B, Jim Rundle, and Chris Hines, by purely talking to each other, that key word, communication, were able to shut it down within about 4 days. The key phrase is when people are moving close calls, reallocating, that causes a huge amount of heartache and upset. Just phone somebody or email the individual who you think it may go to and hold that conversation, and you will find a high percentage of the time you'll be able to close your close calls out or come to some sort of resolution. But Jim and Chris Hines working together early on in the week, it was a perfect example where they could close it out. So well done to Chris and Jim.
That actually brings me back to Mark Johnson's point, where one was closed out with a large amount of text from the log. Yeah. Now, irrespective of the details of that one, when I've been allocated them, I pick up the phone. I always pick up the phone, because I'm an old bird, I don't necessarily trust the system, but if somebody has bothered to make that close call complaint, it's just good manners to pick up the phone and talk to them. Now, I can understand, if you are the recipient of a lot of them, why you would rely upon the system to do that for you. But actually picking up the phone on any topic is good practice, whether it's getting together to sort it out, phoning somebody to A, clarify information, or B, inform them that it has been dealt with. And the other thing is, we live in a world where we email each other all the time, and actually we need to pick up the phone and talk, because the whole IT-based world dehumanizes humanity. And actually safety is about humanity, because it's humans that get injured as a result. So I don't understand why we don't talk to each other more on a lot more levels, other than, you know, other than close calls, closing them out, sorting them out, problem, pick up the phone, don't email if you're arsy, pick up the phone and ask some questions before you get excited about something. So communication needs to kind of get, or people need to buy into it in a better manner, really, not rely on email or text, I think.
I think that's a good point there as well. Recently, I spoke to a reporter who raised a close call. I was having massive problems finding it. The reason I was having problems finding it, and the reporter let me know because I spoke to him, was because his close call was just outside of Liverpool. It had been given to us, and he was outside of Liverpool. So it resolved two things. One, it got a close call off our books. But two, it meant that he could allocate it to the correct DU, which was numerous hundred miles away. So there is something in this. Doing beta cleanse on close calls this morning. I found close calls that have been reallocated 8 times between Kent, Sussex, South Eastern, LNE, Wessex, back to Kent, back to Wessex. It's ridiculous. One phone call solves a lot of this, so it is worth making a call.
There's an update coming out very shortly. I've received an email from Oliver Eastport about improvements to the close call system. And one of the new improvements will be if you move a close call, sort of reallocate it, the commentary will be given while you're reallocating it. The recipient will receive notification who it comes from, which doesn't happen at the moment. We should be doing that as a matter of courtesy, a matter of fact. I'm moving it to Steve Edwards, for example. I should make contact with Steve, whether a phone number, email, or whatever, and talk to him. Because if I've got something sitting in 90 days or 100 days and he's going to get it, it's a bit unfair. But the system is changing, so between the recipient and the sender, that email will log it. But it's just common courtesy to speak to people when you're reallocating close calls, especially when they've been sitting in the system for 60, 90, 100 days. It's not acceptable just to reallocate and wash your hands of it.
I'll open the line up one more time before we call it an end. So if there's any further comments, please feel free to add it in now.
As a reminder, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, key star 1 on your phone, record your name, then press the hash key.
Leave it open for 30 seconds, a minute, see if anyone decides they want to participate and take care.
I'm going to put the speakers in the canteen next week.
There are no questions in the queue at this time.
I will do that.
All right. If there's no further comments in the room, going to call it a day on Safety Hour today. But please, if you have any further comments, please feel free to email me. Tracy's leaning in over my shoulder. Thanking the HR team for picking up the numbers in today's Safety Hour conference. So.
No, felt
promise.
Right.
Yeah.
There was still waiting to see. Just on
the eye. The slide is not visible. So
it's
not visible. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone have a good day. Be safe. Take 5. And goodbye. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.